Broadway icon John Cameron Mitchell channels the essence of his glam rock icon, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, for one night only at Arts Centre Melbourne this July. So put on some makeup, turn up the A-track, and pull the wig down from the shelf. John Cameron Mitchell, July 10 at Arts Centre Melbourne. Book now. Joy sponsor.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Having friends post some quite, you know, negative comments towards this person and obviously not knowing that it's me, these people have pieced the two together and apologised to me since then, but it's, you know, really hurtful. Even though I knew that they didn't know who I was, seeing these comments, I still found it a personal attack, even though they weren't directed at me as such, instead at a hypothetical person.
But you are the hypothetical person. I mean, as much as you say is that they're not directed at you, they are directed at you, and it does speak to something greater in regard to people thinking about when they comment online.
It's really easy to, you know, say something nasty or hateful on the other side of a keyboard when you don't know the other person or you don't know who they are. I think once you start putting a face and a backstory to that person, that's when it becomes real. I, you know, would be very surprised if someone came up to me, you know, face to face and told me I deserve what I got.
It's Tuesday, the 3rd of July. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Arcuri. The audio you just heard was from our exclusive interview with the Melbourne man who contracted HIV while on PrEP last year. We played segments of his interview last night here on The Informer, where he shared his story of what it was like to be the fourth man worldwide to have contracted HIV while on PrEP, and being the subject of conversation but unable to tell his side of the story when the news broke, as he saw assumptions and misinformation spread about his PrEP use, his character and his lived experience. Earlier today, we released our entire conversation with him. It's a 40-minute interview that you can find at The Informer's page at joy.org.au. That's joy.org.au/The Informer. Tonight on the show, we speak to WA MP Alison Zamon, who this week introduced legislation to amend Western Australia's Equal Opportunities Act to prevent private religious schools from legally discriminating against employees, students and their families on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. This bill is the last piece of legislation on the Western Australian statutes that still allows for discrimination against members of the LGBTI communities. We also speak to Mr. Australasia Bear 2017, Moro G from New Zealand, who represents a diverse image of what it means to be a bear, as he shares a narrative that we don't always see and don't always allow enough room for a voice in our communities.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Western Australian Attorney General John Quigley has said that he is unable to say if the McGowan government will support proposed changes to the state's Equal Opportunity Act because the results of the federal government's review into religious freedom in Australia has not yet been released. This came after Greens MP Alison Zamon put forward a bill yesterday to amend the Equal Opportunity Act to remove loopholes which allow the religious-based organisation to terminate the employment of staff because of their sexuality. With bills being released in Western Australia expunging historical homosexual convictions and an apology by the Premier earlier this year, it's got us wondering, why the hold-up on the last piece of legislation in Western Australian statutes that still allows for discrimination against members of the LGBTIQ communities?
It's quite obvious that we need to deal with this. It needs to come off the books. This is 2018, and certainly it's time to ensure that we are upholding human rights within our laws and that we don't have any more discriminatory provisions.
That was WA MP and Green spokesperson for sexuality and gender diversity, Alison Zimon, who has introduced legislation to amend Western Australia's Equal Opportunities Act to prevent private religious schools from legally discriminating against employees, students and their families on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. Zimon has stated that this is a natural progression after last year's change to marriage equality legislation.
I think it's a really important time for us to be looking at the issue of religious exemptions. We know that already there is a bit of a federal discussion occurring about the scope of religious exemptions, and in fact, appallingly, there has been a suggestion they should be broader. Clearly, the Greens have the completely opposite view, that we should probably be looking at removing them entirely. But unfortunately, around some of the states, they also have, within their various equal opportunity laws, remnants of discrimination against members of the LGBTIQ community. And unfortunately, here in Western Australia, our Equal Opportunity Act is one of those acts. It has been said that we have got one of the worst provisions around religious exemptions within Australia, but there's a little bit of a battle as to whether perhaps New South Wales shares that dubious honour as well. In any event, I'm a State Member of Parliament of WA, and hence it's my responsibility to make sure that we're tidying up these sorts of provisions within my own backyard, and so that's why I introduced a private member's bill, which seeks to remove those religious exemptions so that in future religious schools would only be able to discriminate on the grounds of religion. And the reason why I made a decision to retain that particular provision within the statute is because we're not trying to remove religious schools entirely. We're still allowing Jewish schools to enrol Jewish students, Islamic schools to enrol Muslim students, Catholic schools to enrol Catholic students, for example. But that would be the only ground upon which they could potentially choose one student above another. There should be no other grounds in this day and age which would enable further discrimination.
The bill was put forward into Parliament on Monday and is awaiting debate. It's the last piece of legislation on the Western Australian statutes that still allows for discrimination against members of the LGBTIQ community.
Well, unfortunately, there were a couple of incidents in recent years in Western Australia which really highlighted the need to make sure that these laws within Western Australia repealed. The first one is that during the marriage equality debate last year, there was a gay teacher who was outed, if you like, during the course of that debate over here in Western Australia, and was sacked, and was able to be sacked because the laws still enabled that to occur. And maybe about a year or 18 months before that, there was another incident where a seven-year-old girl was asked to stop talking about her parents, who were two gay men, and it was made very clear that she was not welcome in that particular school either. Now, these are appalling situations to be made aware of and to be occurring. I think it shows that even though the majority of religious schools do not rely on the religious exemptions, and indeed some of them are even quite happy to see them go, that unfortunately there's still a minority that think it's appropriate to engage in this sort of discrimination, and it's not. It just isn't. So it's about time that we ensure that we bring the laws up to date with what I think are community expectations. I think also that the debate around marriage equality last year really highlighted that people do have an expectation that members of the LGBTIQ community are able to have the same fair go as every single other Australian. And the situation we have here is that a couple could get married legally one day and then legally sacked the next. And that's absolutely unacceptable. And that's why we need to make sure that we change the laws.
A spokesperson for Western Australian Attorney General John Quigley told Out in Perth that he's unable to say if the McGowan government will support proposed changes to the state's Equal Opportunity Act, because the results of the federal government's review into religious freedom in Australia has not yet been released. Not knowing the results of the Ruddock review shouldn't stop a state government from removing their last bit of legal policy that allows discrimination against LGBTI people, and Zimon is hopeful that her bill will be passed.
I'm certainly hopeful that this bill is going to be passed and is going to be taken seriously. We have, of course, a Labor government over here in Western Australia. Labor like to think of themselves as being an ally of the community, and so they should. Everyone should aspire to be an ally to the community. But that means that they've got to pretty much put their money where their mouth is, and it's more than just simply waving a rainbow flag. It means that you have to actively, proactively support repealing discriminatory provisions in legislation. So I am hopeful that with discussions with the Labor Party that they will recognise that this is a really important provision that needs to get changed. What we have heard to date is that the Premier, Mark McGowan, has sat on the fence on this one a little bit and has said, we'll wait and see what the outcome is going to be from the federal review of the Equal Opportunity Act federally. But I think that it's unacceptable to wait for that. And in any event, we need to make sure that we've got our own house in order. I don't know what's going to happen with the federal laws. We don't know if they're eventually going to appeal the religious exemptions. I think they will. It could be in a year. It could be in 10 years. But in any event, we need to be ready for that, and we need to make sure that we've got them off our books in the meantime. So I'm certainly hoping that the Labor Party will join the Greens and do the right thing and make sure that this bill gets passed.
The final recommendation of the Ruddock Review was received by the Turnbull government over a month ago, and a spokesperson for the Federal Attorney-General has said the report was being considered, but there were no dates set for when a response would be made public. But waiting isn't an option for Zimon.
Well, the reality is that schools need to be safe for everyone. I think it certainly was very disappointing to see that the collateral damage which was done to the very important Safe Schools program through the course of the divisive and quite ugly public debate calling for equal marriage. But that's no excuse for not ensuring that anywhere that we have our children, that children are able to be accepted and are able to be safe and able to feel okay to be exactly who they are. And that's in all schools, obviously, and that includes religious schools, because the reality is that it is really important that particularly for younger people who may be questioning, who may be looking to come out or just already at the point where they know who they are, that they can feel as though they're going to be supported, they're going to feel as though they're going to be safe. But most importantly, it's absolutely critical that there's no concern or fear that they're going to be subject to potentially being expelled. And the reality is that as the law stands at the moment, that's exactly what could happen. It's likewise with teachers. What we want is good teachers. We just want good teachers, and it doesn't matter what someone's sexuality may be, as long as they're good at teaching. There is something else I thought I would point out. One of the things that the bill does is it doesn't just remove discrimination on the grounds of sexuality and gender identity. It also removes existing provisions that still are there, which allow people to be sacked for falling pregnant or for being divorced. For example, so family responsibilities. Frankly, in 2018, there is no place of employment at all that should still allow these sorts of outdated and archaic and really destructive provisions to still exist. So what I have done with the bill is I have said that religious organisations can still be discriminatory when it comes to employing people who are employed for religious purposes. So if it's a pastor or if it's someone who is teaching religious studies specifically or an imam or something like that, then they can still employ someone who adheres to the tenets of their particular faith. But beyond that, it shouldn't make a damn bit of difference. Who cares what someone's sexuality is if they're the gardener or if they're responsible for the finances or if they are teaching? It doesn't matter. It makes no difference.
That was WA MP and Green spokesperson for sexuality and gender diversity, Alison Zimon, who this week introduced legislation to amend Western Australia's Equal Opportunity Act to prevent private religious schools from legally discriminating against employees, students and their families on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
A fortnight ago, we covered the crowning of Mr. Australasia Bear 2018, Dale, from Harbour City Bears in Sydney. And with it saw the end of the previous title holder's reign. Moro Xi from New Zealand stepped down as a title holder. Originally born in China before emigrating to New Zealand, Moro represented a diverse image of what it means to be a bear and shared a narrative that we don't always see and don't always allow enough room for the voices of in our communities. Once he'd finished his title year, Moro sat down with The Informer's Tom Morgan and had a chat about the privileges and perils of being in the spotlight and spreading some panda love on what it means to be an Asian man in our bear communities.
Hi guys, it's Moro Xi here. I'm from New Zealand. I am the former Mr. Bear Australasia. I'm very, very happy to be here today.
Why did you decide to run for Mr. Australasia Bear?
It was a good opportunity in New Zealand because back to 2015, we got Mr. Gay New Zealand. He's Asian. And then one of my friends has asked me if I want to participate the competition, which is Mr. Bear New Zealand. And I got in and then just luckily got to the end. And then they sent me to Australia and then I got a title as well. For me, bears is for people who truly believe who they are and truly after a long year, I have so many new ideas about what is bear. Because for me, bear is no longer just the look, the shape. And it's more about what you think and the way you live and the way you socialize. Yeah.
Now, what is your heritage?
So I'm originally from China. I born in China and raised in China.
There is a perception that the bear community is predominantly or almost exclusively white. How has your experience of that been?
Yeah, of course, the majority in this community is white because bears is considered quite a new thing in Asia. We don't really separate ourselves to an individual group in China in general. Our friends don't really say we are bears, we just say we are like in general we are bears just are one of the groups, because you know, like in the LGBT big family, we do have different tribes.
Here in Victoria, we had a bit of an interesting thing where there was maybe a bit of clickiness, a bit of, you know, image focused identity around the community, and a few people were feeling sort of closed off or alienated and things. And they've, you know, they've dealt with that. That's changed now. And what I'm seeing is a wonderful re-engagement with such a more varied group of people. Have you found that there is a broad range of guys who are reaching out to you and interacting with you in the bear spaces?
First, about the community, I was actually a big surprised. I think it was early this year when I heard things were changing. Yeah, I was a bit surprised. And but I do understand, because some people do need to move on. And yes, absolutely. Thanks to the title, I got a chance to talk to so many people who may never sort of wanted to talk to me. Because, I do have that feeling. Like, because of the title, I got a chance to talk to people and introduce myself and also introduce them the culture, my background, and also it's pretty much everything. It's really good to sort of let them know.
And so now winning the title has given you a platform to engage with the community on an international level.
It is truly a whole new level for me. I never thought I can actually reach people outside Asia or Australia or New Zealand. But now I have people who talk to me from Europe, from so many countries. It's just been amazing. Apparently Thailand start doing Mr. Bear this year. And they just finished their very first Mr. Bear Thailand. And they contacted me and had my photo on their entire competition. And I was so proud.
Being in the spotlight isn't necessarily always positive. Sometimes, you know, having that attention, have you experienced any sort of negativity or any strong reactions during your year as Mr. Australasia Bear?
Yes, I do see the positive, but meantime, yes, that there were some tough times as well. I got a few people actually messaged me and just told me I wasn't supposed to get the title, sort of. But in general, I think it was just because they don't know me yet. Like, they haven't met any guys like me from Asia or has this Asian background.
Did it seem to be mainly about race, the reason they were reacting?
To be honest, race was definitely part of them. It was interesting last year when I went to Sydney, when there was one of the contestants for the Harbour City Bear. They were asking, what do you think of racism in the community? And the guy on the stage was saying there was no racism in this community. And I was a bit surprised, but I just say, oh, that's for me personally, I think, yeah, that's what you think, that's fine. If you don't think we have racism in the community, that's fine. But in the meantime, I got so many people actually turn around, look at me, and they even say sorry to me. And I just feel I know people actually looking after me and protecting me in this community. And they respect the Asian group.
Now, and I hope you don't mind the question, but we sometimes see in the community Asian bears getting referred to as pandas. Do you think that's an offensive term or is it an endearing?
Totally not offensive. I found that's really cute, actually, because we're being called pandas. And we also have other bears as well. Like, we got polar bears. So
I think people have an ideal that there's no racism, but I know from my experience with Asian friends that they, whether it's actual or just perceived, they don't necessarily feel that they're as included or as legitimate or as automatically expected to be part of things, that they have to fight harder to...
Yeah, there's... I would say I'm pretty used to it because for me, moving to a Western country is already a big move because I know I'm going to dealing with people who's not going to look the same as me. That's like already the first step I have to deal with. And also language and culture background. So just turn around, like, how would I accept a white guy if this white guy moving to my town in Asia? How would I react? That just, yeah.
So now that you have finished your year as title holder, are there other things you'd like to do in the bear community?
Since last year, I actually got a few plans ever since I won the title. I got a few plans on the way. First, I'm still working on a sort of documentary type photo album to sort of record bears from different states and also in New Zealand. And also I try to work more with the group in New Zealand. I try to sort of to be the ambassador, invite more guys from Australia and welcome them to New Zealand to visit our beautiful town and going to our Bear Week, because we have our Bear Week every February.
And so you don't need a break from it all? You're not over the spotlight?
No, our spotlight's never the thing I'll get tired of.
How do you think things can be improved in the community? What sort of changes would you like to see?
For me, because we have one competition each year, so you can actually have different type of guys to represent the community each year. For me, like in 2017, I was the person to represent diversity and represent the small group in this big family. This year, let's see, we had these six guys. They are amazing. They completely represent different tribes. The word tribe was actually from the contestant from Victoria, Freddie. When he won Mr. Big Bear, he posted on his Facebook said that he was so proud to represent his tribe. And I took that word as, yes, that's exactly the word, the tribe. In bear community, you have different tribes, and Fred is representing his ones. So for me, no one can be the 100% perfect person to represent the entire community. So it might just bring up another focus in 2018.
Is there any message that you have for people who maybe don't feel like they're a part of things or, you know, that they can't engage?
My message to them is definitely try to be yourself. And if you don't feel confident, that's fine, because you should know, like, there are so many guys out there. They probably don't have 100% confidence in themselves as well. But all you need to do is try to talk to someone first. Like one step in and you'll find out how beautiful this entire community is, especially from myself. Because I never thought I would have this great chance to meet so many beautiful people in the family. And now I did. So if I can do it, I believe any of you can do it too.
That was Tom Morgan speaking to Mauro G, Mr. Australasia Bear 2017, about the privileges and perils of being in the spotlight and spreading some panda love on what it means to be an Asian man in our bear communities.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook or at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Dina Curie.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.